The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. Singapore's central bank plans to issue up to 5 digital bank licenses to suitable applicants in a move that could deliver the biggest shakeup in 2 decades in a market that's dominated by local banks. Well, Tharman Shanmugaratnam, senior minister and chairman of the Monetary Authority of Singapore, announced this at his speech at an annual event of the Association of Banks in Singapore last Friday evening. So MAS expects to invite applications in August. And the MAS says that it'll issue up to 2 full digital bank licenses to companies headquartered in Singapore and controlled by Singaporeans. The central bank will also issue up to 3 digital wholesale bank licenses, which will be open to both local and foreign players. In the studio with me to help discuss this topic and break the details down is IG Market Strategist Pan Jingyi. Jingyi, the world is changing. Now we are talking about virtual bank licenses. Mm-hmm. I mean, how big a deal is this for Singapore? And really, what do virtual bank licenses do for the industry?
Well, Elliot, I would think that to be just, you know, looking at how the model itself has been for the likes of China, I think that's a prominent example. It's
sure.
probably a good thing just because we are seeing technology advancement. This disruption itself is expected to, in a, well, a positive way, aid consumers with more choices and ones that, you know, it's going to be more suitable and, you know, going forward with our lifestyle. So I think it's probably a positive. And on the other hand, though, for the banks itself, I think it's just really a time to see perhaps a little bit more competition.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm not so sure that this is going to take over things as well, because I would think that it's going to be a very positive coexistence, seeing the way that things have worked out in China.
A positive coexistence. We'll get into the possible players that could come into this sphere in just a while. But I mean, you mentioned China and things have worked out there. You think Singapore, you think financial, you know, landscape, et cetera, et cetera. You can't help but draw a comparison to Hong Kong. Could you touch on the trend of digital or virtual banking in Hong Kong, and then maybe we can get an idea how it might turn out in Singapore?
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at the case in Hong Kong, I think we have seen quite a number of these virtual licenses being handed out.
Okay.
The intention of which by the Hong Kong Monetary Authority is really to increase competition. And I see that, you know, drawing parallels here likewise for Singapore to, well, just really disrupt the current landscape, but in only in a positive manner,
sure.
as you heard from, well, the MAS themselves.
Yep.
So just one thing to note though, you know, we've seen likewise, interestingly, of the 3 big banks in Hong Kong, in a way, oligopoly kind of environment as well. We have the likes of 2 of them actually partnering with some of these companies, a little bit fintech, I would say, perhaps.
Okay.
And then the 3rd of which is HSBC, has chosen not to and take a more, well, just really advancing their own digital capabilities. And I wouldn't be surprised that in Singapore, I think the banks may take a little bit more of this stance, as we have certainly seen DBS being one that's very strong, key players spending quite a bit on this. So I think they would be very comfortable in terms of defending their position. But at the same time, I think the disruptors themselves may actually take a go. And this includes, I think, well, as you mentioned, we'll talk about it later, but some of these guys as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we have to get into it right now, Jingyi. Of course, in the studio with me is Pan Jingyi, market strategist at IG. We're talking about virtual bank licenses. You mentioned it's really all about disrupting the landscape in a positive manner. So you mentioned disruption. You can't help but think of things like, I don't know, like Grab is a, I don't know, the name Grab and disruption, they go together.
Uh-huh.
How much interest do you think there is for these licenses? Who are the likely players who would even consider applying for this?
Well, I would say that we've seen some reports coming through. Grab, Razor, Singtel have been names that have been popped up. Well, in terms of this, I think amongst which, of course, I think the market's generally just viewing Grab as a, well, strong contender,
sure.
and have strong interest in that. I think they've taken steps to really be establishing themselves in terms of this payment merchant, in the sense that, and taking over not just, say, for example, in your transport, in terms of your food, and I think just generally in terms of these services as well. So I think this is likely to be the kind of direction they take as well, to become a little bit more comprehensive and diversified in that sense. Just, you know, tuning back a little bit towards the conversation in terms of disruption, I think there's just one interesting trend as well that we notice. So IG, we are a broker. We, in a way, manage finance. For example, when you actually put in money to actually trade with us. But out of the many offices that we have around the world, Singapore office is actually the only one where we have a the front desk itself. It's just a trend that you happen to notice, and we realize it's successful for us, is that Singaporeans do actually have a little bit of preference that you have a presence actually here as well. So I think in that sense, it may be one of the limiting factors to how much these virtual banks, if we take the model of Hong Kong where you cannot have any physical presence, I think in that sense, it's going to be one of the barriers perhaps to see.
Yeah, I've been to that front desk. It's very nice, by the way. Just again, just to sideline a little bit, homegrown brand Razer, do you think there's a likelihood that they may consider, you know, looking into this whole virtual bank licensing?
Well, earlier, to be honest, I'm not a gamer, unfortunately, and not too very familiar with this. But I think what we understand is that they do actually have this Razer wallet. And
Razer
that itself has actually received quite a lot of interest in the community itself that uses these. So I think in terms of the virtual bank license setup as well, the risk here will be, for example, the banks, the banks reserve requirement ratio and all these kind of various expectations that, you know, you have to stand in line with in terms of procedure with the rest of the traditional banks, and that I think it's quite something that they will have to really consider in terms of the risk and reward into that application into August, where we're expecting the license to be put up.
Could you share more a little? And I know you touched this a little bit earlier on, talking about DBS being able to defend its position simply because they're so connected and innovative in the digital sphere. Impact, what kind of impact do you expect on bank stocks with regard to this?
Well, so Elliot, I think in terms of the banks, how this itself may actually be in a big threat. I mean, because banks actually does have quite diversified services. So in the sense that, you know, just breaking down in a bit more layman term, is the lending business, the trading business, and of course a whole lot others in the sense of like credit cards and so on and so forth. So I think in terms of the lending business, that could perhaps be a little bit of a challenge here, I would say, in terms of grabbing some of these businesses and squeezing them a little bit in terms of their bottom line. But that being said, as well as mentioned, you know, it does really depend on how receptive Singaporeans may actually be towards this. And it'll be open in a very gradual step, in the sense that from what we've seen in early reports and the talk that you've mentioned, this is only open to some of those who are our current business partners and, of course, some of the relatives, and for example. So I think in some, it's just going to be limited impact to begin with. I would think bank stocks have what we talked about earlier, the China-US trade tensions to actually be the key thing to guide instead, rather than so much of this disruption, at least in these early stages.
And to throw you a final curveball, just one last one very quickly, and sticking with the tone of bank stocks, do you have an outlook for them in view of the impending rate cuts that we keep talking about?
Yes, so I think definitely for banks, there's quite a bit of risk coming through, and this of course includes both the fact that we have Federal Reserve expected to cut rates, but of course the delayed effect itself could still see the banks celebrating this relief in US-China trade tensions. So in that sense, I think that we still have a bit of upsides just really to see into the end of the year. I know, you know, you want to ask me which amongst which to pick. I would say that
if you can.
Definitely we have seen DBS has been one to actually have quite a bit of good run. It's the hot favorite amongst local banks up until, I think, recently, of course. But I think there is a growing sense that the threats coming through from the trade tensions, from the cutting of interest rates, that's providing a little bit more of this deviation from the market towards the like of UOB, just because they have a more defensive structure in comparison to DBS. I think still a buy call on that, but of course I think UOB is starting to look a little bit more attractive at this point of time, Elliot.
All right, well, thank you very much for taking the time this morning. Han Jingyi, market strategist at IG. Jingyi, have a great week ahead. Yeah,
thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.